We're in this series called Relationship from Death to Life, and today's focus is on believe. A relationship is built off trust. The more truth there is, the deeper that trust can be. We start with belief, and then it moves towards faith. As Pastor Mike said, you have to have both of them for them to work together. Belief is defined as intellectual knowledge or the acceptance of certain facts to be true. Faith is defined as having complete trust or confidence in someone or something. After the kids program that we're going to have in May, I'm going to start a whole teaching series on Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, by faith, Abraham, and by faith, and it goes on through all the different faithful people through the Bible, and we're going to look at every single one of them. So if you want to read ahead, Hebrews 11 would be a good one to read. But it says, I read a way of describing the differences between the two. It says, faith involves reliance and trust, and it endures in the face of doubts, whereas belief is simply something we take to be true. I also read it stated that belief often refers to mental agreement, and faith refers to wholehearted commitment. They gave the example between belief and faith using Alexander the Great as an example. They said, if you'd go and ask someone, do you believe in Alexander the Great? Most of us would take it as, do you believe that he existed? Historical facts prove that that's true. Yes, we can believe that Alexander the Great existed. At one point in time, though, people put their faith in him to protect them and to expand their Greek empire. But is there anyone alive today who's putting their faith in him now? We believe that he existed, but we do not put our faith in him because he's dead. What good is he going to do for us now? Again, belief and faith, they work together. You can't have one without the other. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, not existed, that he exists today, right now, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we can put our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ, as we celebrated last week, as we should be celebrating every day, that he rose from the grave and that he conquered death. He beat death, and he sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I right now. My hope from last week's message is that we have been more focused on seeking God's face than looking at the struggles that we have in our life. And today I'm going to be asking three questions, and I believe that Jesus answers those questions, and his answer is all focused on our belief. Before we do that, I would like for us to pray. Father, I thank you that you did your part. You loved us so much, so you sent your one and only Son, that you've forgiven us of our sins, you've covered us with your grace and your mercy. I ask you, God, as we stir up this gift, as we fan into flame this gift, that we get around people who are going to help us when we stumble. Not that we're back in the grave, but they keep us focused on you. I ask you, God, to help increase our belief and our faith and see that they work together. In Jesus' name, amen. The first question I'm asking today is, how do I believe? You're going to go evangelize to someone. That's what needs to be answered. How do I believe? Well, John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus looking for answers. When we have questions, we need to go to Jesus, where John 1 says that he is the Word of God. So we go to the Word, we go to Jesus to find those answers. Nicodemus is wrestling and working out his salvation, and he's wanting to know, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus answers him in John chapter 3, verses 3, and then again in verse 7, and he says, the only way to heaven is to be born again. Nicodemus starts asking questions, which a lot of us would probably start doing. And Jesus and Nicodemus have this conversation, and I would encourage you to read John 3 to find out all of that conversation. I want us to look at what Paul said. Paul describes the being born again, but he also brings in baptism, and especially because we're all focused on baptism this month as a response to the Easter message, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Romans chapter 6. 1 through 13, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we certainly will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, I'm going to pause there. Paul says later in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, he says, those who belong to Christ, last week we said those who belong to Christ are those who are sons and daughters of God. To be a son and daughter of God, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have repented of our sins. We've asked Jesus to come in to be our Lord and Savior. And so those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. This is making a statement. We nailed it to his cross, crucified it there, because that way, when we turn around and we walk away, we have a 180 and we're walking new, the sinful nature is nailed to that cross and it doesn't follow after us. We're not going back with a crowbar. It's like, you know what? I really wanted to have this part. No, we nailed all of that to the cross and we turn around and we walk new. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, we go and get baptized. What are we doing? We're putting to death, we're showing an outward expression of an inward grace. We're putting to death that sinful self, and then we're coming up brand new and saying, hey, I am new. We're not going back under the water and trying to catch our breath and trying to pull them back out of it. No, we buried it at the bottom of the baptismal because we're saying, that old self needs to die. I'm making a new change. I'm coming out. I'm going to be different. Verse 6 says, for we know, God bless you, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're no longer going back to that sin that we nailed to the cross. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed into his own likeness. You see, the world is trying really, really hard to force us to conform to its patterns. But we must stay transformed into God's own likeness and who God wants us to be, not what the world is telling us that we have to be. We need to be born again. So what does this mean? It means Yeah, there's lines that are drawn, but they're not drawing lines so we can build fences. We're drawing lines so people can know what the difference between right and wrong is. Parents and grandparents, it is our job to tell this next generation, this is right and this is wrong. If it hurts their feelings, so be it, because when our parents told it to us, it hurt our feelings too. We need to be able to make a line and say, no, that's not right. It's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. We don't condone certain patterns. We don't condone certain lifestyles. We don't condone certain choices. That means we don't agree with it. We draw those lines. not by out of my opinion, but out of his word that never changes. And then we say, look, just because we don't condone it doesn't mean we're condemning you to hell. And sometimes that's the attack that we get is like, well, you're sending us to hell. No, I don't want anyone to go to hell. But my heart is to say, I'm drawing lines because one day in Revelations it says we, every single person, you believe in God or don't believe in God, every single person will stand before God as he holds us accountable, as he judges us of what we have said, what we have done, what we have thought, what we have not done, what we have not said. God is our judge. And I don't want anyone to be condemned to hell. So we don't condone, we don't condemn, but what we do is we live by the conviction, not our own conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit in accordance to this book. We're not drawing lines out of our opinion. Leave my opinion out of it. What does the Word of God say? Romans 6, verse 7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over us. We saw the picture last week. Christ there pulling us out from the drowning that we're in. The scripture said that God grabs us and he pulls us out. And when God gets a hold of us and he pulls us out, death has lost its grip on us. Because God has a hold of you and I. The death he died, he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. We walk away from the grave. We walk away from the sinful nature that's been nailed to his cross. We walk away from the baptismal, being born again, offering every part of ourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. So how do I believe? By putting to death my sinful nature and being born again into God's own likeness. God, change the old me. And I want you to change me into the he that he wants me to be. You know, Jesus actually tells us all of that in just two words. Follow me. Why do we get baptized? Because Jesus got baptized. Why do we serve? Because Jesus served. Why do we love our enemies? Because Jesus loved our enemies. Every why question, the answer is, or should be, because Jesus. The second question is, what do I believe? So before Jesus' triumphal entry, which we celebrated on Passover, before his death and resurrection, which we just celebrated, well, it should be every day, but we celebrated it at Easter, Lazarus, a very dear friend of Jesus, dies. And you can read about that in John 11. And you're thinking, hold up, Pastor Ben, you just told me to read Hebrews 11, John 3, and now John 11. Yeah, you can read all of it and maybe even read in between chapters. It's good to read our Bible. Martha, Lazarus' sister, went out to meet Jesus as she was wrestling and working out her salvation. And she's hurting because her brother lays dead in a tomb. And she comes to test Jesus. Jesus, are you truly who you say that you are? Because right now, I don't know, God, because for you being who you say you are, you being the Savior of the world, you knowing all things, why is my brother laying dead in a tomb when you could have done something about it? You ever been disappointed by God? He didn't answer the prayer that you prayed, didn't do things that you wanted done? John 11, verse 21 through 26, we see this encounter, and Martha comes to him and says, "Lord, if you'd been here, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Do you see the hope in that verse? And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. That's then. I'm talking about right now. I'm hurt right now. He's dead right now. And Jesus says to her, "Look, right now, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me now will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" That is the gospel message. You want to know how to preach? It's right there. You want to know how to go to evangelize? It's right there. Do you believe this? Through the hurt, through the pain, through the hardships, do you believe? Let me tell you something. For those who believe that this world that we're in right now, this life that we're living, it's the worst hell that we'll ever get to experience, because heaven is so much greater. If heaven had a bad day, and it's impossible because it can't, but let's just say that it did. If heaven had a bad day, the worst day in heaven far out exceeds the best day on earth 100-fold. Let's go the other way. If you don't believe, this world, this place in life that we're in, all the hurts and all the pains, all the frustrations, all the letdowns, it's the best heaven you're ever going to experience. If hell had a good day, which it can't, the best day in hell is so much worse than the worst day on earth, 100-fold. John 3, 16 through 18, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I used to have a shirt that says, "I'm a whosoever." It was one of the best evangelistic tools I ever had. What does that mean? Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." To not believe means you are going to hell. The question I have for all of us really is, are we confident where we're going to be spending all eternity? I don't like people saying God's name in vain, and I also don't like just as much people joking about hell. There's not going to be a party in hell. We need to take it serious. Eternity is forever. I want everyone to say forever. If you are in hell, you are there forever. You're not going to go down there and die and just that's it. No, it's forever you're going to be in torment. Forever you're going to be in pain. There's no silver lining. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no hope, because there is no God in hell. And I can't believe, and I wouldn't imagine a worse hell to be than out of God's presence. But on the other hand, for those who believe, when we go to heaven, it's forever. And the Bible says that we will be so overwhelmed with his goodness, so overwhelmed with everything that we can't even imagine, that we actually, it says, all the saints and all the angels will fall continually on their face as they worship. We had a great worship today, but it would be more than that. We'll be worshiping and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," forever. The third question, who do I believe in? There's going to come a time, and I would say that time is right now. when we will need to know how to answer that question, the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Mark chapter 8, 27 through 29, he asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're the prophet. Okay, forget about what other people say. Who do you say that I am? I love Peter's response. He says, he says, you are the Messiah. You are my Savior. You see, it's not who others say he is. It's not because of other people's belief and who he is and their relationship. It's involving our own personal relationship with God. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, that he says, but now that you know God, you know what? It's not that you know God, rather that you are known by God. That he knows your name, Lazarus, to call you out of the grave. You see, there's a warning that Jesus says. It's not about just us knowing his name, and it's about us being known by him. And Jesus says this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me say that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We drove out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your names. And Jesus says plainly to them, I never knew you. You might have been using my name to do those things, but I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. So, you know that not everyone who comes to church is going to be saved? Not everyone who gave money. There was a lady who gave over $100,000 to Michelle and I for our orphanage, and she helped hundreds and thousands of orphans, but she said, I will never believe in your God. If she doesn't repent, she's going to hell. Not everyone who reads the Bible. There's atheists who study this Bible more than most Christians do. Not everyone who's prayed a prayer. It is only those who have confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the grave, that we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We move from belief to faith. Only those who believe. He wants us to love him with all of our mind and all of our heart and all of our soul, not just with our lips. He wants our heart. The takeaway is this. I want you to know I'm not about helping you just check off a bunch of boxes, just as much as I know you're not here to help me check off boxes. Our commitment here is not to make you feel good about yourself, just as much as your commitment is not to make me feel good about myself. Grace Church's commitment to leading people, and you want to ask the question, who are the people? The senior group, who I like to call the most mature group of Grace Church. We have a lot to learn from them, by the way. The people who are people my age, the people who are leading are millennials, and yes, they are millennials. We got to stop speaking against them and start speaking life into them. It's leading young emerging age students. It's leading the 180 students. It's leading the Kid City students. It's leading people. It's the saints and the sinners. And to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. To not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed into his own likeness. You see, we gather in fellowship to grow through discipleship, to go and preach the good news of the gospel. What's the good news, you may ask? That's a good question. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes and that name, that Jesus is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that whosoever confesses Jesus with their mouth, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that whosoever believes with all of their heart that God raised him from the grave, they shall not perish but have eternal life. I'm a whosoever. If you are a whosoever, be bold and stand. Stand with me. If you'd like to be a whosoever, just stand. Right now is that time and saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. You see, believing in Alexander the Great, that if he existed or not, it does nothing for your eternity, but believing that Jesus Christ exists does. It's going from our belief to faith. And my heart is this. When we believe, it says those who believe will not perish. And we move to faith because the hope is one day, my brothers and sisters, I hope it's every single person in this room, every single person that's watching online, I hope it's this person that's right here. One day, we'll stand before God and we'll hear those wonderful words. Well done, my good and what? Faithful servants. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of this room. I thank you, God, for their struggles, because in the struggle, they overcome them, because they've become the only way to overcome them is through your strength. Take us from belief to faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. If you need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the give button, or you can text the word give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.